Let's take our scriptures now and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and this morning we are looking at chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we're reading verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 13. Beloved, hear now the word of the living God. It is actually reported that there is immorality among you, an immorality of such a kind as does not exist even among the Gentiles, that someone has his father's wife. You have become arrogant and have not mourned instead, so that the one who had done this deed would be removed from your midst. For I, on my part, though absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged him who has so committed this, as though I were present. In the name of our Lord Jesus, when you are assembled, and I with you in spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous or swindlers or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. But actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother, if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. And that is the word of the Lord. A very hard word to the Corinthian church and perhaps to us. You can see verse 1 that the sin that has been allowed to continue in the church in Corinth, in the midst of the church there, was the sin of incest. There was a son of a father who was with his mother, the father's wife. The person wasn't repenting. They were continuing in their sin, and nothing in the church was being done about it. They weren't confronting him of his sin, and they were not disciplining him of his sin, even though they are called to do so by the Lord. And so the church, the elders of the church, having done nothing to stop the heinous sin, having become arrogant, and have not even mourned over the sin, they treat it as some little sin or some or not a sin at all. But such a sin is easily judged. It's public. It's very easy to see. Such a one who is unrepentant and has not stopped this sin of incest, therefore, because he's unrepentant and continues to be unrepentant, he must be excommunicated. That's what Paul is saying here. He has already been handed over to Satan. Now you see the purpose of excommunication also in verse 5. Why would any in the church be excommunicated? Why would the elders of a church discipline someone to the point of excommunication out of the church? Verse 5. So that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. One purpose of church discipline and excommunication is to reclaim the sinner. Turn them from their sin back to Jesus. And so Paul continues and he rebukes the Corinthian church for allowing this to continue. And he says, your boasting is not good. You continue to boast in yourselves of how spiritual you are, and yet look at yourselves. You're not even, you see this great sin that's happening in the church and you're doing nothing about it. You're overlooking it. That is not a sign of a spiritual church or a church at all. And so Paul continues and rebukes them. And he begins using an illustration to talk about their sin. Just a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. And therefore, because you are unleavened, he's saying, because you are clean, clean out the leaven. Clean out the old leaven, the sin that is among you in the church, so that you may be new. And so that applies very much to today. In our sin, we are to work together. Romans 8 shows, in other places it shows the same thing. We work together to put to death the sin that remains within the body. Like Christ, our Passover lamb who is sacrificed, so we must die to sin. We must be planted into the likeness of His death by mortifying and putting to death sin, and in the likeness of His resurrection by rising again to newness of life. And so He's telling the Corinthians, no longer be arrogant and jealous of each other, but be filled with sincerity and truth. Now, Paul had wrote previously not to associate with immoral people. He's referencing a letter previous. Now, he clarifies he did not mean do not associate with the immoral people of the world, the people out there who are not Christians, who claim not to be Christians. He did not mean don't associate with them. If he did, he would mean, he says, to leave the world. Rather, still applicable today, anyone who calls themselves a brother, a so-called brother, it says here in Paul's letter, anyone who calls themselves a brother or sister in the faith, calls themselves a Christian, and yet is an unrepentant, sexually immoral person, a coveter, idolater, or reviler, drunkard, or swindler. If they're unrepentant and they continue in their unrepentance, even when confronted of their sin, you are not even to eat with such a person. Because they're showing themselves not to be a Christian or a believer at all. Do not associate with them. Because in doing so, you'll be dragged down into their sin instead of being lifted up and encouraged. What Paul is saying is don't overlook their sin. If they are a Christian in the church, then they should be disciplined for their sin. And you go about that in the proper ways. We've talked about that before. If they are unrepentant and will not turn to Jesus, then such a one shall be removed. As Scripture says, remove the wicked man from among yourselves. A very hard passage for us. A very difficult one for elders. A very difficult one for any of us when we have to confront sin. He implies here, you are not to judge those in the world. God does the judging of them. But you are to judge those in the church when you see their sin. You are to confront them of their sin, just like Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, bearing each other's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Beloved, let's pray. Our Father, we do praise You. We thank You for this, Your Word, which is breathed out by You. Even this chapter, which is a very difficult chapter, hard chapter for us to hear and even to think about confronting sin in the church. We know that sometimes when sin is confronted in the church, there is division that occurs, and yet not true division. We thank You that it actually brings peace because sinners are reclaimed. Even through excommunication, You imply here, You show that sinners are reclaimed. Not all, but some. And so we praise You for the discipline of the church that You have shown us how to do it throughout Scripture in Matthew 18, in Galatians 6, and in various other places. We thank You that You have shown us clearly what sin is. The sin that's mentioned here of incest, of covetousness and the 10th commandment, of idolatry and the 1st commandment, and others, stealing, swindling. And Father, we pray that You would forgive us of our sin. Turn us from our sin. Cause us to be repentant. Cause us not to be stubborn and hard-hearted when someone confronts us of our sin, but that rather we would be broken and sorrowful over our sin and turn to Jesus for receiving His grace and mercy. Father, we would ask that You would be with us and continue to grow us as a congregation. We thank You that thus far You have preserved us. You have given us Your Word, which convicts us and rebukes us, trains us in righteousness, teaches us what You would have us to believe and what duty You require of us. And Father, cause Your Word to be precious to us, a treasure to us, that even each other in the body, the congregation here and the church throughout the world, that we would love one another as You, Christ, even love the church. That we would treasure one another's communion as we commune with You. And Father, all the more as we partake in the sacrament of Your supper tonight and worship. Father, this day we ask that You would be with those who have struggled in their bodies, even Phyllis's mother and Ron, who have had bones needing to be repaired. This week we pray that You would be with Ron's granddaughter and what may be cancerous in her body. We ask that You would cause it not to be, or that You would heal her body. We pray that You would be with those for our congregation who play the piano, both who are sick today. Pray that You would heal them and give them rest in their bodies so that they would be healed. Father, we pray for those who are struggling who to sleep and to even get through the night. We think of Bob and Marie and Jeannie. Pray that You would give them rest and that You would enable them to be with us this evening to worship You. And Father, we pray for those who continue to struggle in their bodies, even Sharon, and pray that You would bless them. Bless Your people. Cause us to remember, as even as we all grow older, each day growing nearer to that one day that is numbered for us, that we would die and enter into Your presence. We ask that You would cause us to know that being with You, communion with You, is much more important than our earthly bodies. Pain is sometime, and pain and struggle and ailments are sometimes those disciplines that You use to grow us and train us in righteousness and grant us patience in such things. Father, grow us in faith. Help our unbelief. We would trust in You more. Father, cause us to trust in Your Word, even though there's times where You call us to very, very difficult things, even like confronting others of their sin. Lord, preserve us and strengthen us for the task. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.